it's so good that we can not even just sing that we see a victory, but we can actually declare victory over our lives? Isn't it so good that we can prophesy victory and prophesy good things that the Lord has given us? And we can walk through Scripture and declare those good things over our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, God, we love you. God, we honor you. And God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we can call on you and you can give us words of wisdom. You can speak to our souls so that we can prophesy over situations, that your heavenly language can come out of our mouth as we speak to you and pray to you, Father. God, we thank you that we can sing praises to your name, that we can sing songs we know are true about you and your character and about your promises over our life. Father, we thank you for that. God, we honor you. And God, this morning I pray that as we're hanging out here for Sunday church, Father, that you would just bless us. Father, give us words of wisdom over our lives, over our families' lives. Father, God, give us prophetic word. Give us prophetic vision over our lives, Father, over our neighbors' lives, Father, over our church, Father. Father, I pray that we would seek you above all. Father, we would be preoccupied with your Son and focused on him and his goodness and what he brought and what he did for us by dying on that cross, God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit here to be with us while he's up there with you after his resurrection, Father. Thank you that Jesus is alive. Thank you, Jesus, that you came here for us, for our sins, and you made us new. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and directs us and teaches us. Thank you, God, for your amazing gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat, or if you're sitting, stay seated. You know, before we recorded, we were talking about secrets, that how we actually are watching Sunday service. And the truth is, I wear socks and sandals on Sunday morning when I'm watching Sunday service. And my kids cringe. But it's cold out, because I watch in the screened-in porch, because the kids are loud and I need to try to monitor. But I watch with socks and sandals. That's my confession. And if you don't like it, I might have to wear them one Sunday. That'll make my kids really happy. We are in this series, and this is the last Sunday, when we were praying earlier, The Ultimate Warrior, and it's been an encouraging few weeks for me anyways. Maybe I'm praying that it was an encouraging few weeks for you as we journey through this idea of being an ultimate warrior, about joining Jesus in the special forces, and not just joining him in the army when we become saved, but pressing in for so much more. The first week we talked about being warriors for the kingdom. And we talked about this world is searching for heroes, and we can be a spiritual hero in this world. And we can speak prophetic words, and we can give wisdom, and we can pray with people and show faith as we press into Jesus. And then we talked in the second week about changing our perspective, about not walking around with an earthly perspective, but walking around with the heavenly perspective. This perspective is Jesus sees things, this perspective of victory rather than one of defeat or loss or hurt or whatever it may be, but a perspective of victory. And then the third week, I talked about resting and being still. And for me, resting is something that I don't do as well as I should. But it's something that I'm being trained on by the Holy Spirit and learning and trying to understand, and because I'm a busybody. I like to be busy. That's my personality. We're going to talk a bit about that here today. And then the fourth week, we started jumping into some action, didn't we? We've done some basic training in Special Forces, and we jumped into some action. And we started talking about being bold, confident and humble. We're bold when we approach God, because when we approach God, we're not just approaching him as Dave, but we're approaching him as Jesus and Dave, and that's how God views us. And we're confident because we know that God is there and Jesus is petitioning him on our behalf as we're asking. And we're humble because we know that without Jesus, we're nothing. We need Jesus. It's that need that he's our oxygen that we breathe. We need Jesus. And then a few weeks ago, we talked about fearlessness. And we talked about how when we're living in the love of God, that we should have no fear. And I joked about those fear not shirts or the no surrender shirts, but we need to get those no fear shirts because we need to be living a life of no fear. No fear, no surrender, pressing forward and advancing. And we need to understand that the love of God will help us shed that fear. And then last week we talked about the ability to receive, and we talked about our capacity to receive from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus and from God, and speaking in tongues and spending time in our prayer closet and growing that spiritual gift, that gift of tongues that each and every one of us has access to. And the only thing really blocking us is our brains or our lack of seeking. So this is our last week. And it's going to be a talk about being preoccupied with Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, Numbers 6, 24 to 26 tells us, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. See, what an amazing and wonderful poetic expression. Isn't that a neat thing? I love the way that reads. You know, if I was a poet, that's probably what I would want to write, because it just sounds so nice. It sounds like a smile on me from God. The Lord is smiling on us, and that's what it is. See, his glory glistens with happiness. He shimmers with delight when he looks upon us. His eyes twinkle with goodness when he's looking upon us, when we're walking in his truths and his promises and what he's called us to do. He bubbles with enthusiasm for us. These aren't words we usually use about God, but this is truth about how God feels about us. He loves you, and he wants you to join him. He wants you to join him in mission. He loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. Amen? He wants you to know Jesus, and he wants you to be focused fully on Jesus and on his goodness, because that reflects the Father's goodness. God has this wonderful beam upon his face when he looks upon us, a glint in his eye. I remember that saying. Remember that saying? You've heard that all. Terry, is it a saying?
What is it?
I'm going to set a stop because I might get embarrassed. He's proud of us. And he has this glow and a smile. Mary, am I crazy about this term, glint in his eye?
No,
it's a saying, right? Maybe I'm using it wrong. I thought it was just proud, but we'll just keep going. It captivates his goodness, though. The Father has this astonishing vitality, and he's full of life and spirit, and he's radiant, and his face is shining upon us, and he's smiling on us. He wants to commune with us. So how does God commune with us? There's a luster in the way he communes with us. As we just read, this glorious, brilliant luminescence that captures our affection and makes us feel what he feels. God's heartbeat is enchanting. I've been in the presence of Jesus and didn't know how to respond. What do I do? Do I cry? Do I laugh? Do I sing for joy? Do I sit and be silent in amazement of God's goodness? Have you ever been there? Have you ever just been in your prayer closet or just been in your car and just been so amazed and so blown away at his goodness? And you just don't know how to respond. Like I said, do you sing? Do you cry? Do you dance? Do you laugh? Do you do all of them? Do I dance like a crazy person, shout praises to him, or stand in awe? And we watched a movie here last year, I believe it was, here at the church, and it was called I Can Only Imagine. And it talked about the lead singer of Mercy Me, and he had this song called I Can Only Imagine. And to me, that's something that is real to me. I hear that song, and I'm just like, I can only imagine what it's going to be like to be in God's presence, in the presence of Jesus in heaven. I can't imagine. I don't know what I'll do. Will I fall on my face? Will I cry? Will I weep? Well, obviously I'll weep, but you know, there's so many emotions. There's so many things. But the question is, how good is he? He's so good. So he deserves all the response we give him, doesn't he? But the next question I ask is, how do we respond? How do we respond? See, Psalms 145 says, they shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundance, goodness, and will shout joyfully to your righteousness. His loving kindness has overwhelmed my heart and my life. It changes our character, doesn't it? His loving kindness. It upgrades our personality. I'll tell you guys what. Before I really started to press in and before I really started to get to know God, my personality wasn't this good. It changes our character. His loving kindness should dominate our thinking. It should overrule our perception and maintain our heart in a place of joy and unrest in him. Day after day, the Holy Spirit will show up in our lives and provide comfort and deep joy and rest. And when we're in his loving kindness, anger leaves, doesn't it? How do you be angry when you're in his loving kindness? Resentment goes away. Bitterness is reduced and removed in your life. The Lord conquers our thoughts with better ones, doesn't he? Boy, and here's the thing I get excited for. As I grow and as I understand his loving kindness more, I'm even more excited for those things to shed and to gain more deep joy, more rest, more comfort, more excitement, more passion for him. I'm so glad that the Lord conquers all these earthly things and replaces them with heavenly better things. See, Holy Spirit continually touches our heart. He loves us. God loves us outrageously. Whatever is God, it is God is relentless at it. No matter what it is, whether it's love, whether it's joy, whether it's peace, he is relentless at pouring it out on us. Whether it's blessings, he's relentless at pouring it out. Relentless we use sometimes is a bad term, but this term, it's a good term, isn't it? Relentless love, relentless blessings, relentless promises that are going to happen. He never quits. He keeps pressing forward because he wants more of us. Maybe you're a person who gets angry at the goodness, at his goodness towards you. I don't know why you would, but maybe you would just rather have a little pity party. And as I said to my son Cohen this week, when he was having a bit of a, we won't say pity party because he'll get mad when he watches, but he was having a rough moment and he had his lip out. And I don't know if you've heard this term. Maybe it's not my term, too. I don't know if it was my grandpa or grandma who said it, but I always would say to me, not me, my sister and brother, not me. Be careful because a bird's going to come land on your lip and poop on it. Was that just me? Yeah, okay, well, they used to say that. Somebody said that. I've heard it. Not to me, obviously, because I was never angry or sad. But maybe you just want to have a pity party and you're like, God, Jesus, just leave me alone. I don't want any of your blessings. I'd rather sit here and just take my punishment that's due to me. Are you like that? Because that's not what God wants you to have. He wants to pour this extravagant blessing on you. He wants to be relentless in the blessings. He doesn't want them to stop. He wants to keep pouring them out. And when we're spending time in the loving kindness of Jesus, experiencing all those things we spoke about a few moments ago, you know where you are? You're in self when you're in that pity party. And God doesn't want us to be in self. Jesus doesn't want us to be in self. Jesus wants us to be with him. In the throne of grace with God. He wants us to be arm in arm like we talked about a few weeks ago. Coming to the Father and petitioning and praying and asking. And he wants us to be having those blessings poured on us. Jesus wants us preoccupied with him more than anything. You see, when we're preoccupied with Jesus, things are different, aren't they? When we're fully engaged in Jesus, when we're all about Jesus, things are different. We no longer need to defend ourselves, do we? Because what self would we be defending? When we are silent towards other people, when they're coming at you and you're silent, it is much easier to be vocal towards God, isn't it? When you're sitting here defending, who's your focus taken off of? God. Allow God to be your defender, like he said in Scripture. He wants to defend the righteous. The enemy wants hatred and bitterness to creep into your life. The enemy wants bitterness and resentment to have a voice in your life. He wants it verbalized because it distracts you. Jesus fought the battle so we have victory. What did Jesus do? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So he did not open his mouth, Isaiah 53:7. See, Jesus was quiet. He went to the Father, didn't he? When somebody's coming against you, what should you do? Should you, Gary, what are you doing? Why are you saying that about me? Or should we take it to the Father like Jesus did? Jesus asked the Father when they were against him, when they were punishing him, when they were beating him. And the Father laid it out for him, didn't he? He knew his purpose. There's a lot to be said with being quiet and going to Jesus. When we're quiet and when we go to Jesus, you know what happens? The enemy leaves much more quickly when we refuse to rage. Silence oppresses the enemy. Rest, when we rest in the Lord, it infuriates him. And the cross debilitates him. I just listened to a song this morning as I was driving to church. And it says, the enemy is defeated and he's choking on the blood running down the tree. He has no victory over me, and I'm going to step on that enemy. That's a pretty good line. It was a rap song even. It's pretty cool. As we live a life preoccupied with Jesus, we change, though, don't we? We take our focus off the enemy and we start putting it to Jesus. And we allow Jesus to fight our battles because we have freedom to see that we can make an impact in Jesus. We can do things in our community, in our world, in our church for Jesus when we're focused on him. We have a freedom to see that we can make that impact. Amen? We can make a difference. We can be difference makers with Jesus. We need to be preoccupied with Jesus to allow the Holy Spirit to help us grow. God is relentlessly kind to us. And when you come to grips and understand that, what happens? It'll change your life. It'll change how you approach life. It'll change how you approach the world. It'll change how you approach your neighbors or that pesky guy that lives down the street from you that drives you crazy and keeps spraying Roundup on your plants. There's no better way to live life than under the smile of a relentlessly kind God. So I invite you to get to know his nature. Know how good he is. The initial revelation that Father gives us becomes our main point of growth to develop and adjust. How do you begin? You choose an impact or an aspect of God's nature and his character that attracts you and develop it with the Holy Spirit and the lifestyle of truth that he can bring. That's how you develop your understanding of the Father. Each day becomes a lesson in the alignment with that truth within your lifestyle. The Holy Spirit begins to be our teacher and our facilitator. He has not come to just teach us truth, but to lead us into truth, to lead us into an understanding of truth, of who God is and that characteristic you're trying to seek out. He teaches and then he creates those opportunities so we can experience the truth and put it into practice of understanding his goodness. So how do we go through and become preoccupied with Jesus? Through ongoing development. It's like regular life. We need to continually be trained to understand how to do things, don't we? My job, I get trained. If I want to understand safety, what do? I go to a safety course. They put me in situations where I can better understand safety from a safe place. They don't say, okay, here's how you use your fire extinguisher, Gary. Okay, now here we're going to just dump some diesel and gasoline all over you. Okay, use your fire extinguisher. That's not what they do. They tell you, they show you what a fire extinguisher does. They show you the characteristics of fire. They show you what a fire extinguisher does, don't they? And they say, this is how you stay safe. They don't throw you in the middle of the fire and say, there you go. Have at her. Oh, he didn't learn. Oh, well, next. That's not how it works. And that's not how it works with God. He doesn't throw you in the fire and say, next. It's continually understanding his goodness because he's a good God. Seeing God results in being amazed by his radiance. And when we see his radiance, it's always amazing and a joyful occasion, isn't it? When every time we see God's radiance, it's an amazing, amazing thing. Get amazed by God's radiance today. When we talk about understanding Jesus and understanding God and celebrating it, and how does our relationship look? Our relationship with God is always extroverted. Did you know that? It should always be extroverted. So you may say, but Dave, I'm an introverted person. I don't like people. I don't like being around people. I don't like being out there like you. You're too crazy and you talk too much or you do this. Let's just bear with me a second, okay? We're going to read a little bit of 2 Samuel, and I don't have it up there for you because I don't. No good reason. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 to 16, it says, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. Boy, I should just pick it up like this. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and trumpets, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. Does that sound extroverted? Sounds pretty extroverted. And then we keep reading in 2 Samuel 6, 21, 22. And it says, where David says, I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord of the people. I will celebrate before the Lord. Will you celebrate before the Lord? Will you be undignified? Will you be extroverted for him? I pray you will. There's this old song, I will dance, I will sing, I will be mad before my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. Do you remember that song? No. It's a good song. We used to sing it at my old church, and it was just, we would dance, we'd sing, we'd shout, we'd clap, we'd high five, we'd get undignified because we are called to dance before the Lord. We're called to show him our passion and our praise, show him the passion within our soul. We are to become undignified for him. No matter our personality type, we are called at some point to shout, to sing, to rejoice, to high five, to dance, to be enthusiastic because of who he is for us. Worship has a loud voice. When we sing songs that we know are true about him, we should be singing with our loud voice. We should be stepping out and using our loud voice to be singing about how good he is, about how much he loves us, about how much he has given us, about his promises, about his love, and about everything he's done. The fact that he sent Jesus to die for us, we should be loud. I hope that didn't ring in your speaker. But maybe it should have. I hope it did. Because maybe you're an introvert. But if you are, celebrate how God made you. But joy has no introversion. Joy is not introvert acceptable. Acceptance. If you're an introvert, you still show joy. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know the right word. See, it's exuberation, it's earnest, it's ardent, it's excited, it's fervent, it's hearty, it's lively. It's wholehearted and zealous. Joy is all those things. So what are we doing? Are we, oh, I'm an introvert, I can't sing. I'm just going to sit here in the back and maybe somebody will hear me clap. That's not how it works. Sing with everything in your body, every part of yourself. If you're driving in your car, sing it. If you're in the bathroom showering, sing it. Sing it. Be joyful. Joy in the Lord is passionate. It's vehement. It's fanatical. It's appreciative. It shows the value in our impression of God. It should be loud. That's why I like rock music so much. It's loud. That's why I like rap music too. It's loud. So I say this with the utmost respect to you introverts out there or shy. At some point, you're going to have to get over yourself and your celebration of who God is. I'm not saying it always needs to be here on a Sunday morning. You can do it in your bathroom, in your car, but you need to at some point release your joy for God and what he did for you. And as you gain confidence in that, and as you become more and more undignified, what's going to happen? You're going to do it here too. You're going to do it in the house. You're going to do it wherever you are. You're going to do it. And he'll help you. But it's not that easy for everyone because, well, extroverts do that quite well, don't they? But extroverts struggle with other things in their personality. Like things like patience. Or rest. I don't want to say that one too loud. They struggle with rest. And sometimes they struggle with waiting for wisdom. And they just like, let's go, rah, rah. And sometimes we just need to rest and we need to wait on the Lord. And that's something that extroverts need to work on. So extroverts, get over yourself and spend some time with him and rest. And God will help you with that as well. But there's a point here. And the point's this. We must develop our relationship with God across the extremes of our personality. So for some of you, he didn't only make you an introvert. He made you an introvert with joy, passion, exuberance, exuberant intimacy with him. So if you're an introvert, he made you an introvert with these things. Okay? Okay? Are we good? Good talk. So all the brilliance of God rubs off on us. When you become a believer, all the brilliance of God will rub off and will make you a more rounded person, and your expression becomes more than just who you are, but it also becomes the characteristics of God. And joy is something that the Lord does inside of us, this work that he does inside of us as he changes us. His joy changed me. Being preoccupied with Jesus brings a deep enjoyment of life in all its shades. And we live each day under God's smile, as we read earlier. We do the things that bring him pleasure. Oh, I'm a slide ahead. I'm sorry. You guys are getting my next slide already. We live each day under God's smile, as we read a few moments ago. We do the things that bring him pleasure, don't we? And we bask in the warmth of his affection. And that's why I think resting in the Lord should be easy for us. We cooperate with a generous Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us each and every day. And the Holy Spirit connects with us and shows us to Jesus each step of our life. So, from not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus to knowing who Jesus is and all his characteristics and joining the army to joining Jesus in mission to joining Jesus as the ultimate warrior and being a part of special forces to strengthening and growing even more in Jesus and developing in his habits and learning his habits and his skills that he's given us and his gifts that he's given us that we must have as a warrior to supporting in growth of faith. In the end, it begins and ends with a pure and utter desire in being preoccupied with Jesus and who Jesus is. So I encourage you to join us and be the ultimate warrior. See, the ultimate warrior is a warrior for the kingdom. So be a warrior for the kingdom. The ultimate warrior has this change from perspective to a godly and heavenly perspective. We need to remember as the ultimate warrior that we need to rest in the Lord. We need to be bold and confident in the things we are promised and called to, all while being humble in our need for Jesus. We need to live in fearlessness. We need to have our no fear shirts on. No surrender. Always advancing, always progressing, always victorious. We need to be open and ready to receive from the Holy Spirit to experience and utilizing our gifts of speaking in tongues and prophecy and words of wisdom and knowledge. We need to be continually operating in our gifts. And we need to get preoccupied with Jesus. Amen? So if today the Holy Spirit has stirred you in your spirit, and you don't know Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, but you want to know Jesus, you want to get to know God, you want to start to grow in your faith, I invite you to get to know Him. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Him, all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. And the music team is going to repeat this prayer after me here as we speak, or as I speak it, and I invite you wherever you are just to repeat after me. So would you pray with me? If you want to know Jesus, dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place and for wanting to know me. Jesus, I ask that you forgive my sins and come into my life and direct my life. Jesus, connect me with people and a church that are chasing after you so that I can run with them too. Thank you, God, for welcoming me into your army, into eternal life and newfound joy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, high five someone right now. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we celebrate with you, we're excited with you, and we want you to contact us, 306-882-2453. Call the church. I want to talk to you, I want to encourage you, and I want to pray with you. I also want to give you a Bible. We have Bibles here that we've been handing out as people come to know Jesus. And if you didn't come to know Jesus and you say, I want to check out more of Jesus, I need a Bible, call me anyway and I'll give you a Bible. I want you to have a Bible in your hand so you can read about the goodness of God. I want you to read about His promises. You can also email me at lead@rosetownchurch.ca. You can comment on Facebook or on YouTube where this message is being played. Remember though, spiritual warriors, we're confident and we're the fearless fighters who never run from an opportunity to do battle with the enemy. We're partnered with God in a way that there is nothing left to fear. We don't have to live in fear. Together as warriors, we get to advance the kingdom. Amen? But it doesn't end today. So we're going to pray in a second and give you an opportunity to come into agreement with us as we pray. If you want to join Jesus in the special forces, if you want to continue your training, your basic training with Him and following through in His word, watching these sermons again. So I invite you, because next week, it's not done next week, guys. This series is done, yes. But next week, we're going to start talking about changing our world. But warriors, will you pray with me? And if you want to become a warrior, pray with me in agreement. Father God, we love you and we thank you. God, thank you for calling each and every one of us to be warriors for you. Father, I pray that we will answer the call and that we will be exuberant in our worship of you, God, that we will be excited and passionate, that when we come to Sunday church next week, Father, we are going to be even more excited and more exuberant as we sing your songs that we know are true about you and your attitude and your personality and who you are, God. Father, I pray that we would just get passionate and we would get passionate about sharing your goodness with our neighbors and our friends and our family, Father. God, we love you and we thank you for these opportunities you've called us to. Father, we love you. We honor you. God, we pray for anybody in this church family that may be feeling sick, God. If they're feeling sick, Father, I pray that you would just encourage them to call the church so we can pray with them, Father. God, right now, wherever they may be, if there's a sickness in this in the room that somebody is listening to, Father, we pray that they would come into agreement right now with healing and wholeness, Father. Father, right now, we pray that you would take that sickness, take that infection, take that whatever it is. If it's a mental issue, Father, if it's fear, whatever it is, Father, pray that you take it right now from these people, they would give it to you, and that you would send it straight to the pit of hell where it belongs, Father, that it would have no authority, and it has no authority or no right over these people, Father, as believers in you. So, Father, we pray that your spirit would come in and replace that fear, replace that sickness with health, with wholeness in Jesus' precious and holy name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Guys, you have an awesome week. I'm looking forward to seeing you online next week. God bless and see you soon.